We kick off hour number three of the program. This segment brought to you by the McKinney team with Keller Williams. Check them out online at ZillowKnoxville.com. It's the McKinney team. You can get in touch with them right there on their cell phone, 865-548-8267. That's 865-548-8267, or email them right through the website at ZillowKnoxville.com. It's the McKinney team with Keller Williams, Knoxville's premier home search, hosted by Knoxville's top agents at ZillowKnoxville.com. Go to the phone lines next, 865-546-8200, if you want to weigh in here on Three and Out. Up first this hour, we have Philly. Talk a little hoops. What's up, Philly?
Good morning, guys. How y'all doing?
I was doing pretty good, Philly, until I saw this video of Grant just draining threes.
Yeah, I saw it too. I forgot to give y'all a call, but I'm pretty sure he's done. I mean, if you're in the first round, he'd be an idiot to come back.
And he is not an idiot.
No.
Smart guy.
He might thrive in the NBA. I mean, P.J. Tucker, I mean, he could be like that, or, you know, like the Michigan State kid y'all mentioned earlier, Green. I mean.
Yeah. I think this might be a start saying our goodbyes to Grant Williams type of week or two. Because, I mean, like, that was the only question mark, right? Like, mm-hmm. That and can he defend well enough? You know, if he has to defend somebody who can step out there, but if he's going to be stepping out there too, like, it kind of balances that out, because now he has the ability to match those types of shots. We know how good he is on the interior. Seems like now the question's been answered, and I don't know what else he really has to work on if he's going to shoot the three like that.
Well, the key is now that you've got to start filling your roster every year. I mean, that's the
yeah.
I mean, you can fill your roster with two or three stars all you want to, but you got to have some four and five stars to you know, keep up with the big boys. And this kid, the Serbian kid from Arizona State, I understand it's pretty much a done deal until the paperwork's done.
Yeah, seems like it. So there's a 7-footer you're going to get, which hopefully he pans out.
And hopefully he can play immediately.
Going to have to, right?
Well, yeah, but you're talking about transfer. I mean, he sat out last year, so I mean, at Arizona State, so how does that go? I mean, do they appeal to get him to be eligible immediately?
They would need to. You've got to do anything you can to get him eligible right now. I don't know how that works, since he did technically sit out last year.
Yeah.
Since he didn't play and redshirted, I don't know if that would count as a transfer year in a way. That's kind of strange. I also don't know, like, what the circumstances are around the transfer. I know one of his assistant coaches left. Is it possible is it possible he could, you know, play the I don't want to say the homesick card, but maybe, you know, the reasons I went here are no longer there. I'm unfamiliar with the place. I want to go back to someplace that's closer to home. Obviously, he went to high school at Chattanooga, so there's at least a regional tie there. Possibly. I mean, if you're Tennessee, I think you exhaust every resource you have to get him eligible, because you're going to need that type of size. I mean, obviously, you lost Kyle. It certainly appears that you're going to be losing Grant. I do like the commit they got from Oliver Robinson, Kamhua. But that's kind of the Derek Walker replacement. Josiah James, we really don't know where he fits in, although I do think he could do a variety of things for you. But, yeah, I mean, at this point, Juroš Plavšić, or Plavšić.
There you go. Sounds good to me.
Whatever. Juroš, we'll call him. Yeah, you got to get him in and get him eligible for another big man. Because we don't know what we're going to get out of Burns. I mean, yeah. I think you know what you're going to get out of Fulkerson, and hopefully he takes a step forward. Maybe Burns can be the post scorer, at least to a degree. Can he defend? Can he get up and down the floor? Those are the questions that won't be answered until we see him, you know, take the court. But you need bigs and you need size.
Next year, as I think, they'll be able to replace Alexander easily, but they won't be able to replace Williams easily.
No, I mean, that's just, I mean, he's rating two-time SEC player of the year.
Juroš at the five position, and I guess Fulkerson's going to play a little combination of five and four. And they act like they say Zach Kent's the best big man over there, which I don't know. I don't know if I believe that or not, or that's just propaganda coming out of there. I don't know. You all know anything about it?
No.
No clue. I've heard, I mean, I've heard the same thing, Philly. I've heard that he can play, and then, but you can't trust that anymore. I mean, nobody knows.
Yeah, and I understand Pembers looked good against the pickup in the pickup games where that's pickup basketball, but if he can hold his own with, players and get stronger, he can help them just enough. That kid can shoot past the three-point line you're talking about earlier.
Yeah.
I've seen him in AU ball play. He's a prototypical three-point shooter.
Well, I think a lot of people, too, some people that watched him play this year in high school were like, I don't understand why he didn't score more in the game I went to. But, I mean, he was out the whole first part of the season with a foot injury. You know, he's in a boot for a long stretch. And if you ever had, like, anything ankle or foot thing as a basketball player, it does – kind of take some time to get back to that level. And when you're playing, you know, around here in high school basketball, it's really not that great of competition when you compare it to, you know, nationwide and what you're going to have to go up against in the SEC. So it makes sense that he wouldn't look super impressive just kind of around here in middle of the season high school when he came back. But he definitely seems to be getting better and better and going up against better competition. Hopefully his height and what you're talking about kind of translates to where he will be able to be a force on the outside.
Yeah, not only that, Bearden had a good team, and I think they had seven players that got scholarships on their team, and it was a guard-oriented team, and he didn't get many touches even when he was playing. So
yeah, it didn't need it. I mean, I went over there a few times, just watched him just absolutely destroy people. I mean, it was – you know, it was like really any of those guys could have taken the shots and they would have won by 40 no matter what against a lot of those teams. So it really didn't matter.
Yeah, they're probably the best high school team I've seen in Knoxville since Austin East in 1977, or the Austin East team with Leroy Thompson on it. That's the only two teams I compare as Bearden was as good as. They're better than anybody else that's come out of Knoxville, in my opinion.
And you got the best player off that team to go to Tennessee. What do you think about Quez at Florida? Are we going to have to deal with him? Like, will he get playing time down there eventually?
Have you looked at Florida's roster? Where's he going to play?
They're loaded. I mean, they're
exactly. I mean, all honestly, he should have gone somewhere where he could have played immediately instead of. I mean, he may play some because they play a lot of players, but he's a shooting guard at, 5'11", 6 foot.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can't play point at that size, I don't know where you're going to play. You're going to play against size or 6'5", 6'4", wing players. I don't know. You know, maybe he can do it, though. I mean, stranger things will happen.
All right, Philly. Thanks for the call,
see
buddy.
See you, guys.
See you, Philly.
JT says, I'll be over the moon if Grant comes back, but I'm excited to watch him in the NBA.
Me too.
You got to kind of make your peace with it, right?
Yeah.
And it's just gravy if he comes back.
Yeah. It's fine.
Mitchell, our resident Jazz fan. I'm not sure if he's a resident, actually. I can't remember where he lives. But the Jazz have a jersey with some orange in it.
Okay.
Easy transition for Grant and for you guys to keep cheering him on with me.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, Mitchell. We talked about fandom earlier. Like, I can't make myself just all of a sudden pull for some rando NBA team. But tomorrow night, my Milwaukee Bucks. Here we go. Just kidding.
You're serious. It's okay.
We'll hit a break.
I just can't.
It's hour three.
Really thought that maybe the three-point shot would keep Grant around. Develop it.
He could develop it here.
Right.
We'll have Rick Barnes. He changed Kevin Punter and made him dead eye from
apparently
three.
Grant developed it in the last month. He's so smart. You say that you are
mine. I'll be here till the end of time. Welcome back into the Fan Run Studios of Fox Sports Knoxville. Tonight in the sports world, the big events all surround the NBA, as we've been talking about. Grant Williams, Jordan Bone, Kyle Alexander, does he get on somewhere? Admiral Schofield, where does he go? Obviously, there'll be a lot of Tennessee to NBA ties here coming up soon with the draft. as soon as the season's over. Tonight, the Trailblazers open on the road at Golden State for Game 1 of the Western Conference Finals. It tips at 9 o'clock on ESPN from Oracle Arena there in Oakland. But before that, the NBA Draft Lottery airs at 8:30. I don't know about you, Houston.
8:30.
I haven't watched a draft lottery. I don't even remember. I remember seeing replays of the lottery in some years when weird things happen.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't ever remember thinking beforehand, oh, the draft lottery's tonight. What time does it start? Where can I watch? Let me make sure I tune in. Tonight might be the first time I actually do that. If I kind of had something else going on, probably wouldn't be that big a deal. I'd probably just check on my phone. I don't really have to see it. But because tonight at 8:30, I probably will be at my house. I don't have anything on the schedule. I'll probably just tune in and watch it. Because it is the Zion sweepstakes.
Okay. Enough.
What?
Enough.
I mean, it's going to be a big deal. Like most years.
I mean, you're going to watch it live, though? I feel like that's when it'll come across Twitter and I'll think, yep,
it's cool. A type of programming. I might forget about it between now and then just happen to see it. But typically, if I'm at home around 7:30, 8 o'clock, my brain starts going, what's on tonight? What sport is on tonight?
Okay.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And this time of year, it's very hit or miss whether it's like, oh, there's that. I watched Game 7 of the Stars and Blues just because it was Game 7 of hockey and, you know.
Sure.
But it's the type of stuff where it just runs in the background. I'm usually on my phone, like looking at other stuff, whatever. That's kind of the way these NBA games have been. But it's also the type of thing, if we get invited out to dinner tonight and we're still out at 8:30, not going to be like, oh, man, can't go to dinner, going to miss the NBA draft lottery. It's not that type of deal.
Just making sure.
It's in the gray zone, I guess. Not must watch, but it's at least on my radar now because of Zion. Clay Travis was asking the question, would you rather watch the NBA game tonight or the draft lottery? His assertion
I feel like if you're watching the game, you will immediately get the info from the lottery.
True.
So I would probably choose the game if I had my druthers.
Like, is the lottery going to be... To me, these types of like drawing programming or the bracketology show, the CBS like brackets, you know, Sunday selection show thing, it's the build up to it's a lot more fun than the actual like, and here are the team, you know, it's the type of thing where like you're really excited for it to start and then it starts and you're like, just show us already, you know? So it may be a little bit of a letdown that way. They have changed the odds though. Last year, I guess if you're the worst team, you had a good bit better chance of getting the number one pick. And now, what is it, the worst 3, 4, 5 teams, all about the same? What are the numbers, Billy?
So in 2017, they agreed to change it for the 2019 draft. Last year, the worst record team had a 25% chance to get the number one overall pick.
25%?
25%.
Wow.
And they could go no lower than the fourth pick.
Mm.
Last year, the second worst team had a 19.9%, third team, 13.8%, 13.7%. And then once you get to the fifth pick, it was only an 8% chance. This year, the worst record team can go as low as 5.
Okay.
And the top, or I guess the worst three teams, all have the same odds at 14%.
Trying to do away with tanking.
Yeah, they want to get rid of the tanking.
At least a little bit.
I mean, I still feel like if you're on the fourth to the third cut line, you're still going to want to try and...
Yeah, you just move the lineup. But now
14%.
You're not... But that's a big jump from a guaranteed 25%,
yeah.
1 out of 4, to 14 now.
What's the number on the fourth worst team?
12.5, and then the fifth team is 10.5. And even the sixth team is 9%. So the sixth team... had a better percentage than last year's fourth worst team.
And how many teams could get the number one pick?
14.
So, the 14th worst team has a 0.5% chance.
Correct.
Whoa. But it's in there.
I mean, that's... I don't, is that really necessary? does the 14th team really need a chance? That just seems okay. Let's say
probably not.
I know a lot of people. I think the Lakers are going to end up with like a 2% chance, something like that, this year tonight. Doesn't that open up the NBA?
Yes, 2%
to conspiracy theories.
Yes, it does.
By, like, why not just have the worst five be in the lottery?
It's a great question.
I guess because then people will tank to be in the worst five. Like,
it,
if
I mean,
you know you have some chance, are you less
likely to
tax?
Imagine being a Knicks fan, how awful they've been, and now here's Zion, like this once-in-a-generation type player. The rules change to where you don't have the 25%, but you have 14 along with Cleveland and Phoenix. And, oh, by the way, Los Angeles got lucky. Zion's going to play with LeBron. Burn it down.
Yeah.
If I'm a Knicks fan. Or a Knicks front office person, or player, or coach. I'm furious. Furious.
So that, I mean, that's every
maybe
non-
John Beilein at Cleveland gets a new toy. Zion goes back to Cleveland. They get LeBron version 2. I mean, that is wild to me that Phoenix, Cleveland, and New York all have the same odds to get the number one overall pick. But even more so, I'm with you, that it feels like this is the NBA's way of, like, you know, at least possibly adjusting a ping pong ball to float to the top first. And Lakers, Zion, neat.
I mean, this is every non-playoff team, right? And this is the 30 teams, 16 make the playoffs, bottom 14 in the draft lottery.
Yeah, that's correct. Just seems a little... Well, it's open for interpretation. We'll see what happens tonight. But I'm telling you, man, if the Lakers get the number one overall 2%. Pick, people are going to burn it down. It will not be good for the NBA. Well, it would be good for the NBA financially, but boy, that is not what you want at all if you're a fan of the NBA, minus the Lakers. Who would love it? Magic Johnson would want his job back very quickly.
Yeah, can I?
Very, very quickly, he would want that job back.
Jenny?
I just... Oof, we'll see. But that's weird. I feel like the Knicks, you wait for this type of player when you're bad, and now you were the worst team in the league. But
and if the NBA doesn't fix it, what if Zion goes to Charlotte or, you know, something like that, New Orleans? Like,
yeah, really.
Pulling their hair out.
I mean, as far as bad fits, I mean, I feel like Zion to Phoenix would not be good. If he goes to the Knicks, if he goes to Cleveland, if he goes to Chicago, Atlanta.
Oh, John Reed would be.
John Reed would be ecstatic if he goes to Atlanta. Like, but like Washington?
Yeah.
Dallas?
I mean, no offense to our state, Memphis. But Memphis.
Yeah, that's not – I mean, the NBA, what you would think, really wants Zion in a big market. I mean, it just makes the most sense.
Like,
you would want him
Chicago.
In New York. You would want him in Chicago. You would want him in L.A.
Even Atlanta.
Atlanta would be a good fit, too. But that's what would scare me the most if I'm one of these, like if I'm New Orleans or something, like, oh, come on. Like, we're not getting him. Just don't worry about it. Like, I'd be terrified that the NBA is trying to get him to L.A. Or that the NBA would, I mean, if the Knicks get him, like, no one even bats an eye because they're at least in the top. Like, it would make sense. It's a big market. We've talked about Durant and Kyrie potentially going to the Knicks. They would probably want a super team in the East. So that seems to me like the safest bet if you're the NBA. You know, and this is assuming that they're kind of trying to rig it, but I think if it's fair and we think it goes at least somewhat statistically, Zion to the Knicks is not a bad thing for the NBA. Gives you a team in the East to compete with the Warriors in the West, especially if Durant and Kyrie move to New York. Like, that's a nice balance of power, and then you let everybody else just kind of fill in with what's left. But if something weird happens tonight and that Laker pinball flies up with the number one overall pick, I may never watch the NBA again.
I read an article over the weekend from The Athletic, and he took a dive into could the lottery actually be rigged. And he talked to like folks that do magic tricks on TV, and like, and they're like, it could, but it's hard to trick a TV camera. So
we'll see.
But he was talking about like you could shoot up a ball because they're all bouncing around, mm-hmm. and you could really shoot it up into like our eye. You wouldn't be able to notice that it came up quicker than the other balls, and then you could like laser the number because it's turned around, you know, and then they take it out and then they turn it.
Whoa. Okay. This is terrifying.
So if the Lakers do.
I mean, I've heard, what were the old ones? Like they would have one that was frozen.
The frozen envelope.
And so you like,
Patrick
that's
Ewing.
What it was. Yeah, you like reached in there and like you grab the cold one.
Right.
Or whatever. Or there's like a thin piece of metal in one. So when you grab it, it's heavier. That type of thing.
The article also like mentioned how the ping pong balls have their own room at the Hilton, like locked up, and only like two people have a key to the room.
Those two people. Can't trust them.
Do they show you like all the, like do they spit all the balls out, or maybe they show you all the balls as they get inputted into the bucket so that you know
maybe.
That like the Lakers even have, like what if Charlotte didn't even have a ball in there?
It's like, no, it was in there, we swear, man. Can I see it? No, you're not allowed to see them. They have their own private room. They're busy.
I mean, this NBA.com thing I had, it says, after drawings are conducted for the first four picks, the other lottery teams will continue to pick in inverse order of their regular season record. So I assume they're only going to draw the first four. Then if one of those worst teams can't fall below five, but they haven't been picked, they get automatically set at five, mm-hmm. and then 6 through 14 are just then slotted. They don't actually draw for all 14 spots. So one of these teams that doesn't have hardly any chance, they haven't been drawn, and then come to find out they just didn't put any balls in there
right.
at all.
Well, the only team guaranteed a top five pick is the Knicks. Top 10 guarantees are the Knicks, Cavaliers, Suns, Bulls, Hawks, and Wizards.
So the worst six stay in the top 10 and the worst team stays in the top five?
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, but it really doesn't drop off that much. I mean, Dallas, Memphis, and New Orleans are a 98.8% chance to have a top 10 pick. And then Minnesota would be the wild card there. They're at 79.8 for a top 10 pick, and then it drops to 9% for the Lakers. Hmm. So they do the...
Well, because that has to do with their record, too.
Correct. Like yeah. the position odds... An expected position, so on and so forth.
Right.
Like, obviously, the Knicks have the best chance. Their expected position is 3.7. That's the highest expected position. Then it's, you know, 4, 4, 4, 4, 4, 5, 5, 7, 7, 7, 10, 10, 12, 12, 12. Makes some sense.
Yeah, I was wondering what Clay meant driving in this morning. When he said, you know, they'll update the odds in real time as the guy. And I was like, what? How will the odds change based on just the one ball, like that team's picks being removed? But that makes sense. If the odds are different every year depending on whose record is what.
Correct.
And which team
and
got
the guaranteed slot of right. top five, top 10, top three.
And which team got
yeah.
picked out of the group because
right.
it's not the worst team, then it changes everybody else's numbers.
Correct.
All right.
Who knew?
8:30.
I thought they just grabbed some ping pong balls, but there are some set rules here.
Mm-hmm.
It is weird that they did the whole – oh, all the three teams are even to do away with tanking, but it also gives, I don't know. Because some
it
teams
encourages more tanking for
in
more
a way,
teams.
But some teams like don't tank and just stink. And like, you know, like you think you would want to try to even things out a little bit, but instead, because of the tanking and the issue, like it seems like there might just be a really bad team that gets punished.
Why not just have a playoff? Why not like bottom four teams and let them play? And then the best team gets the pick.
Well, because then that's the same thing. You might just be a bad team and you can't beat those teams, and so then you're losing anyway. It should be who loses that game. Tank in the tank game. That's what I want to see.
Play the game.
You're scoring for the other team.
Right.
That's what we're talking about. Making yeah. You want to make it real? You're scoring for them now. Beat yourself.
Yeah.
Sorry, we're way off in the weeds here.
Make it, take it, and under your own basket.
Yes.
Every time.
Yeah.
We'll come back with more. It's hour three at Three and Out. Welcome back into the Fan Run Studios, Fox Sports Knoxville. You excited about Portland Golden State tonight, Houston? I know you're dying to watch that one.
What time's the tip?
9:00.
Oh.
It's right after the lottery.
Really?
Yeah.
Watchable.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know, from Oakland, too. It's an early start out there.
Thank you, Oakland. Mm-hmm. Thank you. A little 6:00 local. Good for them. That's big time.
Yeah.
us East Coasters and morning radio show hosts appreciate it. So, yeah, I will watch that, actually. That'll be a good one.
No Durant.
No Durant, yeah. Might be a really good one.
Game one, probably not game two.
Game one, scratch. Game two, possible scratch, right?
Is that what it was?
Yeah, I think, okay. I think it kind of.
All right.
I mean, I think he'll sit as long as they're winning. Calf strain.
You don't consider playing him until you lose the game, basically.
Well, he's not playing tonight. And then, depending on what happens tonight, I may just scratch him game two anyway.
If they win.
Yeah, if you win, maybe you just scratch him for game two. And
no matter what.
Then you roll him out in Portland for game three.
Raptors and Bucks start tomorrow at
8:30. Your Milwaukee Bucks.
Milwaukee Bucks.
Big Giannis Antetokounmpo fan.
I don't know any other players on the team. That's bad.
You're not a big fan of the Bucks.
No, I'm not.
You're just a big fan of Giannis.
I wanted to pick an NBA team and just ride with them because I never really had one. And it just, I don't know, it still just doesn't feel right. It's tough.
Okay.
I mean, I want to like the NBA. I do. I just can't quite get there. I mean, the playoffs are fine. Just, I don't know how, our boy Mitchell, who tweeted us earlier about Grant Williams, saying he watched the Jazz over Tennessee basketball. I can't get there. I can't even get a team close to that fandom. I don't know. Maybe Grant, Admiral, maybe where they go, it'll change my perspective.
I was actually thinking about that. It's been so long since you had an influx of a few players that I think maybe this might be the year that gets some Tennessee people turning towards the NBA, especially because of, in this scenario, I'll assume that Grant Williams goes. I feel like Tennessee fans will want to follow Grant Williams and Admiral Schofield at the next level.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas before, I don't know. I think it's because they were so established for so long. Like, Josh Richardson was really, really good, but he burst onto the scene in that tournament run to the Sweet 16 his final year. So I don't think people developed the adoration for him that they have for Grant and for Admiral. So I think that wherever Grant goes, a lot of people will be very interested in, same with Admiral. Those two guys, because they did it, and they did it for so long, and they did it the right way, and they won a regular or co-championed a regular season SEC title. You got to the championship game 2 years in a row. I think a lot of people are excited about following them, whereas maybe before you just kind of, we'll see if he goes. And frankly, Richardson kind of surprised everyone in the NBA. I think most people expect Grant and Admiral to be pretty decent NBA players.
In the latest mock draft from CBS Sports, Admiral Schofield, 30th pick overall,
30th.
To the Milwaukee Bucks.
Whoa. Yeah, let's go.
Oh, wow.
Let's go.
That would be something. Where is Grant on that list?
Grant is 21st. To the Oklahoma City Thunder.
All right.
That's actually not that bad of a fit. Man.
Milwaukee Bucks.
21 for Grant?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like a lot of people have him slotted at like 21, 22, but they also have him ranked like 15th or 16th on their big board. Is this a fit for those teams that will be drafting outside of the non-playoff contenders? I saw something that said Grant Williams should be considered a lottery pick.
Really?
Yeah. I don't remember where the article was. But
I mean, if he starts shooting threes like that, and I mean, if he could hit that shot in games, like,
shh, he can't.
Oh, okay. When next year, after he plays one more year in Tennessee,
I think Grant is overrated.
Threes like that.
There's no way any of his game will translate to the NBA. No chance at all.
Yesterday, Bleacher Report updated their mock draft. Grant Williams, 28th.
28th?
To the Golden State Warriors.
That's just what they need.
They saw him shooting the three. Well, that's funny because there was actually, I was just reading an article, I think it's called the Sebian. It's a website, and it was a guy who covers Golden State, and he said Grant Williams is the perfect fit for Golden State if he's on the board. That actually would be kind of awesome.
He went to a team. I mean,
we get to watch him win.
Well, that's what's weird is his window is so wide. Like, it feels like Admiral's going to go. It's kind of all over the board, and that's what makes it weird. If you're kind of projected late first, early second, it's like you're going to go to a really good team or potentially a really, really bad team. But it feels like Grant is primed to go to a good team because I don't think he falls out of the first round if he decides to declare. And I don't think he's, you know, a top 20 pick, but I think anywhere between, you know, 21 and 30, yeah. So he's going to go to a pretty good team that was in the playoffs that, you know, maybe he's the missing link for him. Admiral, it's kind of weird. I've seen a lot of people projecting him to the Bulls. I actually like the fit of Admiral and the Bulls just from maybe it's just an aesthetic thing. Mm. Like Admiral in the black and red and white kind of looks awesome in my mind. But, I mean, there's a chance, yeah, if he goes late first, he could be on a really good team too. Or he can go early second. Maybe he can go play with Zion. I don't know. Could you imagine if you drafted Admiral and Zion on the same team?
Both of the Hawks.
Oh, John Reed would be naked running around the studio if that happens. Like, we would not maybe see him again if the Hawks were to draft first overall and 31st overall.
He might become an Atlanta bum.
Yeah. Yeah, he would move down there.
Instead of bumming money for, you know, drugs and alcohol, he just bums money for
Hawks
tickets.
He's like, I got to go watch Zion and Admiral. Be a great name draft for the Hawks if they were to get Zion and Admiral.
All name team for sure.
That would be, I'm trying to think of the fit. That actually kind of works out. They got Zion, they got Admiral, they would have Trae Young. That's a formidable team right
it's
there.
It's hard to do mock drafts, though, before the lottery comes out because.
No, of course, yeah.
Yeah, that's.
I mean, I guess they're just.
I guess it's
projection
actually,
order, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, odds order, if you will. But yeah, tonight we'll the mock drafts will really come out, you know, tomorrow once everything's kind of settled. Everybody will kind of know.
Well, and the combine is Thursday, Friday, so Grant could
makes a lot of sense.
Yeah,
everybody gets their position, gets their fit. They know who to keep their eye on, and then they're going to go watch Grant Williams and say, "Man, this guy's really good." And look at him hitting all these threes. Wow, there's no way he's going back to school. He just told me privately, but he hasn't made it public yet. So we got to get this guy on our team for sure. Sorry, Tennessee.
That's probably how it's going to go.
I thought this was Optimism Tuesday.
It was. So I saw. I'm optimistic that Grant hit all those damn threes. I was optimistic that he could develop a three-point shot, wasn't I? He did.
You were.
You know who talked about him developing a three-point shot?
Who?
We did. You know what he did? He developed a damn three-point shot. A crisp one. Good release. I thought it looked good all season. I was surprised he didn't have a better percentage. He made him against Kentucky, though. Suck that, Wildcats. Man, he was money against Kentucky from three. Remember those two he hit in the first game when we got blitzed? We would have been down by infinity if not for him hitting two threes and Pons hitting one. And then that one in the corner in the SEC tournament. I'll never forget that shot. Knew he had it in him all along. Probably should have taken more. Then I would have known he was going pro. I wouldn't have had my heart attached to this entire process. And now I see this video of him just sitting out there, just zip, 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 zip. Then he moves around. You think, oh, maybe it was a set shot. Maybe he can't hit from over here. Maybe he's only that spot. Mm-hmm. No. Oh, off the dribble, step back, zip. Did you see the video that Tennessee put out when he was in the tournament warming up? He did like a 360 spin shot from three.
Oh,
money.
I didn't see that. Yeah.
Knew he had it in him the whole time.
Should let him take more threes.
Grant shot 62.5% from the three-point line against Kentucky.
That's like freaking.
Damn it, why do you have to go showing off like that?
Final segment, three and out, this Tuesday edition, this Optimism Tuesday edition of the program. Nate Hodges, Houston Crest, Billy Williford, appreciate you joining us today on the program.
Optimism Tuesday.
Yeah. Got a big-time JUCO corner. He's committed to us for now. Grant Williams looking good, going to make Tennessee proud at the next level.
That's one way to put it, I guess.
Many will get more good basketball players.
Okay.
Rick Barnes is out here getting the rules changed in our favor.
We think.
It would have helped us last year.
Better late than never.
If you missed any part of the all these riveting topics,
I'm optimistic.
You can check out the podcast. Make sure you subscribe on iTunes. Get those directly to your device.
5-star ratings, please.
Yeah, five, and 5-star ratings. Florida, another guy just quit on him.
That was good.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, no, he didn't quit. He has to go to JUCO because he didn't qualify. He didn't take care of his academics. Yeah. J.J. Peterson took care of his academics.
Shocker.
That's what he did. I mean, he didn't take care of anything else, apparently, but he did take care of those.
Getting set for the big – you making your plans for the huge event this weekend with UT Sports? I mean, it's mammoth. It's everything. It all comes down to this.
Is it the series with
– Yes, it is.
Ole Miss?
Ole Miss.
They got a game tonight.
Tennessee.
Let's not overlook it.
How much do these midweek games factor into, like, selections? Like, is
well,
it,
if you lose it, I'd say a lot. I would think.
I just don't know if they
can't lose this game. Got to win tonight.
Tennessee Tech.
Bring on Ole Miss.
6 o'clock. I don't know if you guys have noticed, but the weather this week is incredible. So it's a great time to get out.
It's supposed to be hot by this weekend, though. Like 87 on Saturday.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it's supposed to warm up big time. That could change, though. It's East Tennessee.
The game tonight, it's
6. Oh, it's going to be beautiful.
And the game on Thursday, I think Thursday, it still looked like it was going to be like high of 70.
I mean, the high today is only, what, like 66 or something?
No, it's
68?
Yeah, it's nice.
Perfect. Beautiful day.
The Ole Miss series is a Thursday, Friday, Saturday one. 7 o'clock.
Got to get it over with before the SEC tournament on Tuesday.
And then noon.
What
on
are.
On Sunday.
How close are we to not making the SEC tournament?
Oh, I think we're already in.
Have we locked it in?
I think so.
If we lose all three to Ole Miss, we're still in? Because there's a lot of teams kind of log jammed right there in that, like,
pretty
10
sure
through
there's
14
three
spot.
Three teams, though, that are all really bad.
Okay.
I think. I'm checking right now. Kentucky is 7-20, so you're 5 games ahead of them. That's one. South Carolina, 7-20 also.
So we're in.
And Alabama, 7-20. I thought there were 3 teams that you...
I knew Alabama was one of them.
We're clearly...
Because Alabama needed to win the series over Texas A&M to have a chance, and now I don't think they can. Yeah, they're mathematically out, right? Well, what are we... So there's...
No, only 2 miss it, right? So
correct.
Those 3 teams, 1 will get in.
That's right.
Right?
So they're...
Kentucky,
yeah.
South Carolina, Alabama, 1's getting in.
So I guess they're, in a weird way, battling for... Okay, well, wow. So no one's mathematically eliminated, but we are mathematically in.
Yeah, we're in...
Sweet.
We're in Hoover, right? Still play that.
Yeah.
Hoover.
How many... What does Tennessee have, SEC wins?
Tennessee is
14?
At 12.
12.
And no
I think
one's made it with 13...
To the SEC tournament or to the NCAA tournament?
No, to the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, because 14's the number.
14's
they need to win
number.
At least 2 out of 3 against Ole Miss to be kind
to
of
kind of
secure.
Historically be there.
Right.
Although an announcer during the Florida-Tennessee game said he thinks this year might be the year where a team could get in at 13.
Well, we talked
17.
About it. It doesn't make sense for a top 25 team to not make the NCAA tournament field. Well, how
right.
big is the field in baseball? Anyone know that? It's been so long since I've followed it, I have no idea.
Well, it's only 32, right?
There's 16, like, 4-team pods, right? And then it...
Oh, no, you're right. Yeah, I somehow in my mind just
so it's 60,
over the...
It is 64?
Skipped over the super regional round. Yeah, yeah, it's 64, because then there's 8 super regionals.
There's no way a top 25 team does not make a field of 64.
They do.
Give me a flipping break.
Yeah, they do it weird, though. Like, Miami was a host of the Florida pod, and then there's teams not ranked in their pod. I know it's 64 teams, but...
I mean, there's going to be teams that aren't ranked making the field, obviously. But if a ranked team doesn't make it, or a team that would be in like the 26, 27, 28 range doesn't make it, just strictly because of their conference record, only because the SEC is the best damn conference in baseball right now, I will be livid. Tony, I would love to see what Tony Vitello would say if this team doesn't make the NCAA tournament.
Well, I have collegesportsmadness.com's baseball bracketology.
Let's flip and go.
Pulled up. And I'm telling you, this was updated a week ago.
Mm-hmm. So it doesn't even have our series win over Florida
this
in
is
there.
Before the Florida series.
Boom.
It was like last Friday, I guess, as it
so
started.
So in.
Tennessee, man, gotta love this draw, would be in the Chapel Hill Regional at North Carolina, of course. They would be the highest seeded team. Tennessee would be second. With Coastal Carolina and VCU. I mean, that's pretty good.
I like it.
This says,
what's North Carolina
this
ranked?
This has seeded them basically like it's seeded the regional host through 16. I don't think they do that for real, though. I think they only seed the top eight.
Okay.
Like, and then there's some regionals without a seed at all. But this has North Carolina at eight. So you would be
eight
like,
nationally?
Eight, yeah. So you'd be kind of middle of the pack as a two seed in that regional. Sounds good.
Yeah.
Right?
Bring it on.
Florida, mm-hmm. even before that series, was still in, but they were having to go to UCLA, the number one seed. So that basically has them as like the worst two seed in the
I hope we don't go to UCLA.
In the bracket.
Would hate for Rick Barnes to try to hop on that flight. Oh, God. We don't have good luck when
Optimism Tuesday.
No, I know. He might go out there and, you know, get in a fight with somebody. Mm. Not that he would, like, love it or anything.
Goodness. So, in the SEC, Vanderbilt would be hosting as a two seed. Georgia would be the four. Mississippi State would be the three. So, that's two, three, and four all from the SEC. LSU, they have as the 14. And sorry, I'm having to skip around a little bit. But Arkansas would be the seven. So, you have two, three, four, seven, 14. I mean, it's just, it's insane.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
There's no way Tennessee's not in.
Ole Miss would be the 12. Miss them over here on the left side of the bracket. I mean, it's crazy.
They're the 12? And what were we?
Well, they're the 12 overall. Tennessee is the second seed in the
Ole Miss
seeds.
Is the 12 overall?
Yeah. Ole Miss is good.
I did not think they were that good.
Yeah, they're good. They're really good.
I thought we were – oh, man.
No,
we,
Ole Miss is
– I feel like – well, now I feel like even winning one of these games this weekend would be a cinch. To get us in.
You got to get one. To give yourself a chance.
Need one.
Got to get one. One time!
I'll do one.
One.
I'll do one. Once it hits your lips, it's so good. Then you win another one after you win the one.
Ole Miss is fifth in the SEC right now, overall. Tied for fifth with LSU.
What's their SEC record?
15-12. That doesn't even feel good. And they're
the league is too good.
Top 15 in the
country. That's what I'm saying. There's no way we're not in.
Let's go.
We're going to the NCAA tournament.
Well, we'll be
Omaha, Omaha.
We'll be back here tomorrow, 7 o'clock, 7 to 10, for Billy Williford, Houston Kress. I'm Nate Hodges. Talk Sports is next. Keep it locked in for more Fan Run Radio.
Beat Tennessee Tech.